There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We honor the memory of Tom Adams, one of the key contact points in UFO research, especially cattle mutilations, with Gene and Chris and David Perkins. Remember our second radio show after the Paracast. To learn more, you go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. That's where you sign up for Paracast Plus. You get After the Paracast, the enhanced version of this show, and video stuff to come. We also give away a free copy of Chris O'Brien Stalking the Tricksters if you subscribe for 1 year or 5 years. Plus.theparacast.com. So, David Perkins, when we left you in our previous segment, you mentioned the fact that you and Tom Adams, as of about 2002, 2003, were preparing this book, and he had to kind of withdraw because of his personal issues. Now, is that it in terms of contact, or were you in touch with him regularly after that?
No, there was no further contact. Oh, it was very disconcerting.
Boy, that's an understatement.
To Chris and to me, to Linda Howe, to Nancy Talbot, all these people that were close friends of his, and they were doing the same thing I was doing. It's like, hey, you know, it's okay. Call me back. Write a letter back. And it was just dead radio silence, you know. And we consulted with each other. It's like, what's going on? What's going on? And we could never figure it out, but we eventually, all of us came to the same conclusion, I guess, which was, it's obvious that he doesn't want to be contacted, and let's respect that. And let's hope that whatever this is that he's going through will subside and be resolved, and he'll come firing back on all cylinders, but he never did.
Yeah, and we've speculated as well as to the possible causes of him completely pulling back and away from the field. And, you know, I remember distinctly the last time I saw Tom and Gary, actually, was in December 1999 at David's house in Santa Fe. And I remember, you know, Tom was kind of withdrawn and quiet, and he seemed pretty frazzled. He seemed burnt out. I'm not sure what he was going through at the time, but he seemed a little bit quieter than normal, preoccupied. Of course, I had made a bet that first night that I had met Tom, Gary, and David up at Libre at the party there. I had bet Gary a case of beer that someone would be charged with the crime of cattle mutilation before the end of the decade. And that was, 7 years. I figured in 7 years we're going to be able to get at least one person charged. And so we bet a case of beer of the others choosing, the winners choosing. And I remember thinking it was about a week before New Year's 2000, and I had a chance to meet Tom and Gary down at David's. So, man, it took some doing. I'll tell you, it's really tough in Colorado to find Lone Star beer. There's just something about Coloradans and Texans. It's like oil and water. And I'll tell you, it was rough. I paid a lot of money for that case, but I brought that case down, and I paid off that bet. And that was the last time I ever saw him. I think I may have talked to him once, maybe twice after that, but I'm still scratching my head. We really don't know what happened. There are some indications possibly that he just kind of lost it and got really paranoid possibly. And then there's the very strong likelihood that he became a born-again Christian, which we don't know this for sure, but there are some indications that possibly is what happened. But I don't know, David, what do you think? Did you notice anything about it?
Yeah, I think, as I said in my little article there, it was the perfect storm of factors. But it just came so suddenly, which is, it's one thing when you burn out, it kind of takes a while. You don't burn out overnight. But it just was black and white. Boom, gone. And it was, I don't know, the paranoia could have entered into it. The financial thing was just a huge, huge factor. He just felt so crippled that he couldn't go to the conferences and had to depend on his friends for this and that. And then, you know, he'd been through a relationship, a marriage with Krista Tilton, which left him a little beat up, I guess you could say. He was emotionally fragile in some ways, I think, you know, I just have to characterize it that way, that he wasn't, you know, completely worldly in the realm of human relationships, and especially romantic relationships. As far as I know, Krista was his first ever romantic relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Tom and romance just don't seem to
it's kind of a
ballpark.
But, yeah, I mean, he was... so absorbed in his work, and he just wasn't particularly interested in romantic type of stuff. And he had his close friends, and he valued them just like we all do. But that was a whole new game for him. He was out of his comfort zone, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So I think all of those factors kind of just brought him to that point where I think maybe he stopped and just said, "Okay, I'm going to stop for now and try to regroup myself." And then the more time went by, he found that he couldn't re-enter the field. And I just got this feeling that he just didn't want to go, for instance, to a conference. And everybody said, "Gee, what's been happening, Tom? What's up with Krista? What's up with this? What's up with that?" And he didn't want to have to answer all those personal questions. It really made him uncomfortable.
Yeah, he was very private.
How did you put together his final years then? Or did you? Just you learned really that he died and that was it?
Well, yeah, we've just been kind of piecing it together. He went to work at the Dollar General store, which I think he found humiliating. And he just seemed to be a complete workaday guy. One detail that came to us from his relatives there in Paris, Texas, and they said, well, after he died, they went to his apartment, and his desk was covered with letters from people like me and Chris, for instance, and investigators that were just unopened. He never even bothered to open them and see what was in them. And I thought, wow.
Hmm.
So he just didn't want any part of it after a certain point, whether it just he found it all humiliating, or he didn't want to answer those questions, or he'd come to a dead end, or he realized that he couldn't afford to pursue this quixotic journey. But I mean, as Chris and I know, this is, you know, the payoffs here are not going to be great. The likelihood of success is actually fairly low. And so you have to have some pretty elaborate justifications to keep on going. It's not money, and it's not fame, and it's, you know, to me, it's personal curiosity is all it's eventually boiled down to. I'm not even all that concerned about conveying it to the world, you know.
Right.
I just really would like to know, personally. Somebody said, "Well, we'll tell you the answer, but you can never tell anybody." It's like, okay, I'll take that.
It's not the the best cocktail party subject
right.
To dive into. There's very few people that you can really share this information with without them looking at you kind of strangely. And you know, this leads us to a question that we have on our forum from one of our top posters, Burnt State, from Canada, and. First of all, he acknowledges the tribute, David. He says, "That was a very heavy tribute, and it's permeated with a lot of sadness. I have always found the cattle mystery to be a very disturbing thing. There's such a brutality to it all. What motivated Tom and all of you to persist in such dark spaces? I imagine a strong sense of Freudian inspiration and humor must have been essential ingredients." Boy, that's an understatement.
Yeah.
Let me remind you, in case you haven't heard, we actually have a second radio show related to the Paracast called After the Paracast, and it's about color commentary, special additional interviews, and more. And the only way you can get a copy is to subscribe to the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. A modest subscription fee. You also get a higher quality copy of the Paracast with 41 minutes of network ads removed. It's only $5 a month, $50 a year, $175 for 5 years. Plus.theparacast.com. Don't forget, if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus for a year or more, you get a free copy of Stalking the Tricksters and Chris O'Brien. Plus.theparacast.com. Let's do our break here, and we'll have David Perkins answer. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237. 6-2-2-3-7, extension 129.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we are honoring the work of the late Tom Adams, who kind of exited from the paranormal field, what, 12, 13 years ago, but did a lot of work and interacted with many people. We had a question on the table from Burnt State, who, of course, is one of our very frequent and prolific forum posters and an occasional presence on the show. David Perkins, you had a response?
Well, in terms of what keeps us going in that dark space, it's my own personal attitude that whatever is behind the mutilations is very significant. And that includes everything from misperceived predator kills that creates a meme, that creates a belief system, all the way to it's aliens doing it. I mean, there's a huge spectrum there, obviously. But whatever it is, it's important that we understand what it is. I think it's important to our future. And this is something that's really unshakable in my mind, that it is not insignificant.
Was there much of a family there? You said he had a relationship that didn't work out, but he never married?
Well, they did marry. I actually got to poking around recently, and because I was never entirely sure that they had technically married. They, you know, presented themselves as a married couple, but sure enough, they did get married and they did get divorced. So that much we know for sure. I have those records. But he didn't have any siblings. His mother was an invalid. She lived to be at least 100 years old, his mother, and the last 30 years of her life were in a pretty invalid state. That weighed on him also. That was another one of those perfect storm factors that must have had some effect. But he really didn't have a, in terms of a nuclear family, much going on there.
Well, I think you should mention, too, that because of his inability or absolute, just refusal to drive, his mother literally had to drive him to work every day, and he would arrive early so that nobody saw that his mom was driving him to work, which I always thought was kind of strange.
Yes. That's the idiosyncrasies that I'm talking about, but which we will probably never be able to plumb those depths, you know. What we know is what he produced and what he gave us and what he meant to us and the role that he played in ufology, mutology, if you want to call it that. This was his family, basically.
Let's begin to talk here, folks, more about the cases he worked on with you guys, because that's where he'll be remembered, more so than his personality and the quirks and all that stuff. So, long and short of it, and I'll ask you, David Perkins, this question. What do you think is the most significant case he was involved in?
In terms of mutilations, he was involved in a lot of cases. He branched out into all kinds of stuff. Into abduction research, cryptozoology, ufology, obviously, huge. But I was just thinking the piece that I covered in my little obituary there, which I was just looking it up, and that was April 23rd, 1978, Dulce, New Mexico, which is, today is the anniversary of that event. But the first time I went out with him and Gary and to look at a mutilated cow. That was very interesting. We hooked up with State Policeman Gabe Valdez, and my wife Carrie was there. As a matter of fact, the synchronicities of it were very peculiar because we were all up at Burl Lewis's cabin at the time, just having another one of our little get-togethers. And we were all just ready to leave and go our different ways, and phone rings at Burl's. It's Gabe Valdez. You know where those guys are? If they're around, they got to come see this. We were just minutes from leaving, and it would have been impossible to pull back together. So I thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. It's almost like it's being done for us, you know? So we all piled in Thang and drove down to Dulce and went out and looked at this animal. And it was just a phenomenal thing to see. We all explored it together and discussed it with Gabe, and it was one of those cases where something unusual had happened. I mean, whatever it was very unusual. And Gabe was all excited about what he called the clamp marks on the back hind legs of this animal. The animal looked like it had been dropped from 1,000 feet or something. It was just crumpled. Its back was broken. Its legs were broken. Its horn was driven back into the side of its head. And boy, I mean, something of terrific force had interacted with that animal.
Man, it must have been a pissed-off coyote, boy.
Yeah, really, man. And then Gabe took us over to the road. It was one of those hard-packed adobe New Mexico roads, and there were these three pod marks, he called them, indented deep into that really hard soil, like something very heavy had set down there. And so it had all of those characteristics going for it. And I remember thinking, wow, this is definitely not a predator. Whatever it is, I don't know. But this is, it would be hard to come up with any kind of rational, logical explanation for what had happened to that animal. So, I mean, that whole scene is just burned into my brain. I'll never forget that day. And we really bonded, all of us, that day, I think, and we realized, boy, we're dealing with something that's very strange.
Then it should be the 40th anniversary of that that trip.
Yeah, geez. Tom and I didn't actually go out together, and Gary, and look at that many, what we call fresh mutes. I mean, it's just, you know, we live so far apart, and so much of what Tom did was basically calling sheriffs and getting the photographs and getting the vets' reports and rooting all that stuff out and putting it together and publishing it and moving on. So,
it was a shame that Tom never became computer savvy, because he, before the internet, was, you know, beyond amazing in terms of a networker. He put everybody in touch with everybody else. He had a huge network of law enforcement and ranchers that he would constantly be keeping them up to speed on what else was going on. He was kind of the clearinghouse. He was the central sort of hub for people, especially law enforcement and the ranching community, to dovetail their efforts. And a lot of this went through Tom. It was very fascinating going through all those Stigmata magazines and seeing how many people were in touch with him and how important he was in keeping the law enforcement community up to speed on other cases and keeping the ranching community up to speed and telling them who to go to, who to talk to. And I felt that was probably one of the most amazing jobs of networking that I've seen before or after the internet. I mean, the guy really was dazzling with his ability to put people in touch with one another and to keep everybody informed.
We will keep you informed more about the work of Tom Adams in our next segment with David Perkins. And with Gene and with Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
A little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps
helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with our retrospective of Tom Adams, who passed away last year, but had worked in the UFO and paranormal fields for several decades. And the people who knew him, at least two of those people are with us, of course, our own Chris O'Brien and David Perkins. And the thing that Chris was talking about here was the remarkable ability of Tom Adams to network with people. You know, his biggest function, kind of the go-to person. You wanted to know something about amazing, strange, or frightening events. You go to Tom and he'd hook you up with other people. And he did this without being a digital expert, putting it all on computer. What do? Just write things down?
Yeah. He was a consummate note taker. He did produce a publication called Stigmata, which was usually a monthly, bi-monthly publication that was a roundup of all the prior month's cases and the state of, where older cases, where their investigations, he would give updates on older cases and what we were finding out from pathology reports, from law enforcement going out and digging up other cases. It was like a giant jigsaw puzzle, really, that was all ongoing. And the Stigmata was an absolute invaluable reference for me putting together my timeline, along with David's help in Stalking the Herd. The whole section on the 70s and 80s relies heavily on Tom's work. And I do stand on the shoulders of giants, as I've always said. I could not have done this without David's help and without Tom's help. And early on, Linda was very instrumental in my process as well. She really trained me over the phone how to properly interview people, gave me all sorts of really sage advice on particular interviewing techniques and the manner, sort of the bedside manner that one should develop. And I think I've I've taken all that information to heart, and I think I've turned into a pretty darn good interviewer for people that have undergone, you know, sometimes life-changing experiences and often frightening experiences. One thing that I must underscore here, and it refers back to Bernd State's question about the darkness that permeates this particular subject. This is not for everybody by any stretch, and anybody who does get involved in this at one point or another is going to start to get paranoid. I think Tom's paranoia, I think, echoed my own back in late 98 and early 99 when I had some run-ins with some, you know, strange characters. And, you know, as soon as you start digging into government secrets, then that's when you should start getting paranoid.
Chris, right? I want to break in here because you mentioned run-ins with strange characters.
Yeah.
Okay, let's tell the tale here.
Well, I've mentioned it on the Paracast on a number of occasions where I wasn't supposed to be home. I was supposed to be on the way to Denver bringing my girlfriend Isadora's daughter to her dad's. Isadora was away at a conference in Grand Junction. Somebody sawed my clutch pedal pad off, or it didn't look broken off. It looked like it had been sawed with a hacksaw. And I couldn't drive all the way to Denver with an arm of a clutch coming out of the floor with no pad on it. It would have, you know, gone right through my work boots, let alone sneakers. So I ended up having to leave my Jeep parked away from the house and got a ride to the house. There were no cars in the driveway. And that night, about 3 in the morning, 4 guys waltzed into the house talking full voice. Right on the other side of the bedroom door, I heard them going through my file cabinets, taking pictures off the wall. One of them went upstairs and checked the upstairs out. And Brisa normally would sleep in the bottom of the two bunk beds, but that night she was in the top bunk. And she hid under the covers and kind of peeked out. And she could see something silhouetted that appeared to be on the guy's face, like night vision goggles or something. And so she just lay very still. And at one point, it just got so freaky. After about 10 minutes, maybe, it seemed longer, but I think it was only about 10 minutes, I kind of put on a fake sleepy voice and said, "Oh, honey, is that you?" Complete silence, and wham, they just zipped out of the house. And I remember Tom was a little bit nervous about that. And, you know, at the time I'd been looking into the underground base scenario, as it may exist along the border with Colorado, New Mexico, a very good source who claimed he and a group that he was belonged to had found the entrance to one of these facilities. I was getting ready to meet the guy, and I got visited by the man in beige. I've told that story a number of times on the Paracast. Director from the Institute of Social Architecture. I still have his card. K Street in D.C. When people like this start turning up, that, I think, was a red flag in Tom's mind. And I remember that he began to seem a little bit more conspiratorial, a little bit more, a little paranoia, I think, tinged concern. You know, he thought his phone was being monitored. There was some talk about possibly mail being intercepted. So I think that may have been about the beginning of the downslide into 99, 2000. I did notice a definite change around the end of 98, the beginning of 99.
Did you feel then that maybe he was being harassed by one or more of these people?
Oh, that's a tough one. Even if he had, I doubt he would have said anything, but possibly. Well, what do you think, David? Over all the years that you knew him, did Tom ever indicate that he felt that he was under any sort of, you know, overt surveillance, let's say? Or did he ever kind of dive into the realm of paranoia with you?
Well, it's a hard one. Like you say, he didn't want to give that too much play. I think it was a general assumption on our parts at that time that our phones were monitored. We just sort of went on that assumption. I'm not quite sure why, but it's, you know, like you're describing the feeling of that period. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, files and this and that. And I had some of my files just disappeared, you know, at the house in Colorado, which I thought, well, obviously I misplaced them, but I didn't, and I know I didn't. They're gone, and, you know, there are no characters involved, but there again, you could say, well, you know, you misplaced them, you just think that. But, you know, there was a certain pattern to that, and there was a certain I don't know. There was a paranoia. I think I told you the story. I don't think I've ever told it about my mother. And it was right at the time when I was filing just massive Freedom of Information Act requests and just poking after everything, you know, military bases. I was really interested in the 1975 overflights of UFOs over the northern tier of, you know, nuclear bases, basically, all the way from Malmstrom to, you know, Loring in Maine. Anyway, I was really going after it with trying to get government documents. Around this time, my mother said, called up and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm working on this." And she said, "Well, you know, these two guys came to my house." She lived in Florida. She was a widow. And they identified themselves as being from the office, Air Force Office of Special Investigation. And they said, "Do you know where your son is?" And she went, "Oh, no, haven't heard from him in a long time." I mean, you can imagine what she would be thinking. It's like, what is this? So they said, "Well, we would really like to find your son and talk to him." And she said, "Why?" And they said, "He's, I think it was something, I can't come up with the exact quote. It was something like, he's tampering in affairs of national security." And she said, "What do you mean?" "Well, that's all we'll tell you." And they knew damn well where I was, if this, you know, if they wanted to talk to me. But it just seemed like, you know, kind of an odd intimidation. You go to somebody.
Yeah, really kind of backhanded.
Let me ask you a question here quickly. Do you think, David, that these were really national security types or other people pretending to be what
they claimed? Good question, Gene. Good question. But if they were these other people pretending, then, you know, that starts us off on a whole other track. Why would they be doing that?
That seems to be part and parcel of what happens in these fields occasionally. David Perkins with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take out this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Stress, like many conditions in a fast-paced society, is at epidemic proportions. And one of the most effective ways to support your body during periods of excessive stress is by replacing the nutrients expended during that time. De-Stress contains large amounts of B-complex vitamins, in addition to vitamin C, magnesium, and valerian root extract. For more information on this and other great products, contact Lady Talk Live at 855-333-5239. Majestic Earth's Beyond Tangy Tangerine contains no artificial sweeteners or preservatives and is glycemic friendly. This easy dissolving powder contains plant-derived minerals, vitamins, amino acids, and 115 fruits and vegetables. I can't think of anything better for you. For more information on this and other great products, contact Lady Talk Live at 855-333-5239. That's 855-333-LADY.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're looking into not just the life of Tom Adams, but the things that happened to the people who work with him, such as our own Chris O'Brien, and of course David Perkins. And I was asking David the fact that there were encounters with so-called government types. Were these really government types? It's a question I raised.
This is a good question, but there again, if they weren't, who were they and what was the agenda there?
Sure.
It was obviously to intimidate me in some way through my poor old widowed mother down there in Florida to back off. But, you know, just to interject this, around that same time in Florida, there was a rash of clowns coming to people's doors, right? If you're a 40 and you're familiar with the evil clown scenarios.
Would you explain this to our listeners? Because we're hitting something here that doesn't get widely reported outside of our little circle.
Well, I'm not sure it's entirely significant, but if in Freudian lore, there's a fair body of work of so-called evil clowns, clowns that do strange things. I mean, there's even was a rash of them. I can't remember where it was. I think it was California in the last year or something, these clowns. And apparently they explained that it was some sort of performance art project by somebody or other. But if you go on the internet and Google evil clowns, you'll get a good dose of that. And there's some photos there that are very strange. But over the years, these insane clown posses or whatever have... they show up, they do weird things. They're in line with a lot of Freudian-type phenomena, you know, creatures, odd people doing odd things. But this is just one genre of the clowns.
I was just looking at Wikipedia, evil clown, and they talk about the modern archetype of the evil clown has unclear origins. The stock character appeared infrequently during the 19th century, in such works as Edgar Allan Poe's Hop Frog,
whoa,
which is believed by Jack Morgan of the University of Missouri, Rolla, to draw upon an earlier incident at a masquerade ball in the 14th century. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Right.
It's like endless stream here.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, go back and read Mothman prophecies again, and you've just got these cast of characters that sort of blends into the Men in Black, which is a very strong genre in ufology. So were these guys Men in Black? And if so, you know, what is a Man in Black? What is that really? Is that a government agent? Are those aliens? You know, a lot of the descriptions are like, they don't quite have their costumes together or something, or something's really askew in their presentation and their appearance. So, you know, this is a branch that, that takes off. It's a vector off of the subject that we're on here. But so you have to wonder, okay, I find it unlikely myself that any OSI guy is going to go down and bug my mother when they knew if they wanted to talk to me, I was very easy to find. So,
But they didn't talk to you. They worked around you to intimidate the people you knew.
And that, it was intimidating. It's like, oh, geez, okay, well, I've sucked my poor old mother into this now. What's up with that? But I think it's, you know, like we're getting out here, this is more in line with MIB, Men in Black type activities. So that, you know, you can't explain one unknown with another unknown. So it's just something that you, like Tom always says, well, we can't factor it in and we can't factor it out. He'd say that about everything. But he was fascinated with that kind of stuff, and so am I. It's like, well, this is something I just don't know where to put it. I really don't. But, yeah, there have been a host of strange characters, strange occurrences. But if you are of a paranoid bent, you could find plenty of material here to just freak you out.
Push you the edge.
But I personally don't see it that way, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just totally naive that there is really danger lurking here, but I don't feel it. I don't, you know, something about this is too theatrical, and it's meant to have the effect that it has on us and on society. It does have some scary and dangerous aspects to it. But if you're going to get absorbed in that, you're in the wrong field. You know, you should, from my point of view, I take it for what it's worth, which is not a hell of a lot, and move on, you know.
You have to watch out for people who take advantage of this. But, you know, the impression I got before is that for various reasons, Tom Adams, maybe later in his life, was intimidated by things like this. But you wonder why, after being in the field for so many years, being jaded, you have to be, by the things that went on, what would it take to intimidate anybody? You, Chris, me, Tom Adams.
Yeah, good question. Really good question. Well, I think it might be an opening here for something I want to talk about.
Sure.
Tom and Krista, his wife, and their marriage. And it was a turning point for Tom, and it's a time that we're talking about, the time of this marriage from 1987 to 1991, when they were divorced.
Explain who Krista Tilton was for some of our new listeners.
Yeah, so Krista Tilton is an abductee world, is a pretty famous abductee, claims to have been abducted on several occasions. Tom hooked up with her. This is, all comes through Wendell Stevens, basically. And I know you're both familiar with Wendell Stevens. Long story short, I guess, I'm not quite sure how that connection was made where Tom and Krista first met. But if you, on the internet, you will see probably numerous references to the fact that Krista was married to Wendell Stevens and that she married him while he was in prison. And we all know what he was in prison for. But she claims she had married Wendell, and then after they divorced, then she married Tom. She married Wendell in prison. And she told me one time, she and Tom and Gary visited me in Colorado, at my house there. And she said, told this story about on the way to, I think it was on the way to get married to Wendell in prison, that she was driving down the road to the prison, and there was a mutilated cow by the side of the road. And she stopped and looked it over and said, yep, sure enough, mutilated, then went on to meet with Wendell. So I was just looking at some material this morning, which kind of gave me a new insight about Tom and this intimidation factor, or the fact that he was getting in deep into government, perhaps involvement or something. But Krista and Wendell co-published a book in 1988, I think it was, called the Triad Experiment. It was called UFO Abductions of Women, the Triad Experiment. She used the name Crystal Lee and co-author Wendell C. Stevens, 1988, in which she details, or Wendell basically does, her abduction life going back to the early 70s. But in there, Wendell says that he discusses this incident at the Tucson airport where something came over Krista and she went into a trance, and it was somehow then conveyed through her to Wendell that the supposed aliens were using her to impart the information they wanted imparted at this time to Wendell for purposes of the alien agenda, I guess. And I have a feeling that a similar thing happened with Tom, that he, from his point of view, he thought, this is my in into the real heart of this subject here. Here's a person that, you know, has been on the alien examination tables. She's in contact with the aliens mentally, telepathically. They're trying to convey something through her to me, that being Tom Adams.
Perfect girl to marry. Jesus.
And then, you know, they're more rather unkind analysis of these, you know, calling her a UFO groupie, moving from one well-known researcher to another well-known researcher, and having personal problems of, I'm not sure what nature, but mostly related to her supposed abductions. She was apparently first abducted, she says, in 1972. And then shortly thereafter, she was found to be pregnant. And she, and Wendell, as Wendell tells it, that she claims she had absolutely no sexual contact during any of that time that could possibly have explained how she became pregnant. She miscarried the baby, and then she was abducted at least three more times, in which apparently the aliens were trying to impregnate her again and were adjusting her hormones and trying to get her to be some sort of breeding stock. And she was in communication with this entity, her guide, Maijan, who was a Palladian.
It sounds more like some kind of game, but I don't want to get into that.
Well, yeah.
We've got David Perkins with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. When the cleaners ruined some special clothing, all they could do was show us a sign that said they weren't responsible. But when they got the letter from one of our Legal Shield attorneys, he promptly gave us a check for $1,152. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a four-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit two per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your four-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.